It's a second down and 10 from the 53 of the Golden Bears. Donnelly from the gun. Looking to add to the lead. Throws a wobbler that's caught. Out route there for Shinbein as he's starting to cook with gas now.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
I'd like to recognize some of our other sponsors. Paul Waldo at Royal LePage in Regina. Get in the real estate game with a three-time Grey Cup champ. Give him a call, 306-502-5355. Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn for grain hauling, grain marketing, and crop insurance. Check out Corey Zadorozniak and Double Z Ag Sales there in Weyburn. He does great work and a great supporter of this podcast and all levels of football in Saskatchewan. Also, Riviere Ag Seeds out there in Radville with our good friend Paul Riviere, Southern Saskatchewan's premium certified seed grower, delivering homegrown certified durum, yellow peas, and chickpeas. Boys Next Door Window Cleaning with Nathan and Landon. Check out their website at theboysnextdoor.ca, doing pressure washing, gutter cleaning, and of course, your window washing, getting your home prepped for the fall and the cold winter season ahead. Still want those windows looking good, want those gutters cleaned, want their pressure washing done. Mark Greshner Photography. Check out his awesome work at markgreshner.com. I got some great photos done just before my son left to North Dakota as he celebrated his grade 12 grad over there at Riffle, and he took some great family photos. Like I said, check out his work at markgreshner.com. Actually, on the on my podcast, on the backdrop photo on Podbean, you can see the shot of Mosaic Stadium that comes to you via Mark Greshner. Time now for our Coach of the Week, brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan. Thanks to David Dubé and the Concord Group of Companies for getting on board. And I'm embarrassed to say I haven't talked to this guy yet. He's one of the most accomplished coaches to come out of Regina, go into the pros. Now he's back with the Regina Thunder. It's Dave Jackson from F.W. Johnson High School. Now, I didn't know this. You and I grew up in the same neck of the woods.
Yeah, it sounds like right around the corner from each other, Baldy. You know, small world, I guess.
What was your address on Nagel Crescent?
I was at 112.
And I was 192. I'm a little bit older than you, so we just missed playing street football together.
It would have been street football or kicking some field goals in a park or maybe some shinny games on Fisher Street.
Fisher. Hated those. I hated those kids on Fisher Street. I'll tell you
probably us.
Wasn't that great growing up? I missed, like, you know, my son, we used to throw the ball out on the street and everything like that. I brought that from my childhood to him and imparted that. But you don't see kids running out to the red truck anymore and doing the button hook.
No, you don't, and there's not enough kids out there nowadays, and you don't hear them yelling car either. So, it'd be good to get those games going again. That'd be good to see.
When did you know you wanted to be a coach?
Probably as I was playing, and then realized, you know, kind of high school and shortly after high school, and realizing that, you know, maybe I didn't have a shot to go too much further as a player, but I could be effective and help people and share my knowledge a different way and still be involved in the game. So pretty early.
What does that entail? Like, you know, somewhere along the line, like grade 11, grade 12, did you start watching how coaches coach, or when did you start looking at the game through coaches' eyes?
Probably grade 12.
Yeah.
Grade 12, really early. And it still carries to this day. Obviously, I enjoy the system and thinking of why you do things and all that kind of stuff. So then, like everybody else, you kind of tag along at the start and you get to see behind the curtain, and then you just expand from there.
So tell me about your coaching career. Tell our listeners here on Growing the Game with Ballsy, Dave Jackson, about your coaching career. Like, where did it start?
Well, it started at Johnson. Blaine Pierce was the head coach, so I played for him and his staff all through high school, and then stuck around, you know, like a bunch of kids do at the end, and kind of helped out through the spring camp. And I stayed there all through university. I was going to U of R. So through that time, I coached at Johnson. And then I graduated university. It's a long story, Baldy. I've been to a lot of places.
We got a lot of time, man.
Then I lived overseas a couple of years, so I was player coach over there, and when I came back, it's kind of when I really decided to take it seriously. So I ended up in Calgary, I was coaching Bowness High School in Calgary and going out to the West Coast and helping out the Rams out there with a buddy. And once I got a taste of that level of junior football, then I know, okay, I want to go further. So then it was university football in Ottawa with the University of Ottawa GGs. And then that's where you start to, you know, make more and more contact. And then from there, it was on to the Rough Riders, the Blue Bombers, back to the Rough Riders, Edmonton Eskimos, Toronto Argonauts, Regina Thunder, National Championship somewhere mixed in there.
Yeah.
And we're back there today.
Yeah, so you were a part of the Thunder's championship team in 2013, and then it's been all Hilltops ever since. What made that team great, and how do we get that kind of team back here with the Thunder where you can get over the top and beat the Hilltops again when we get back to football?
Well, I'll tell you exactly what my thought is. What made that great is, number one, we had Asher Hastings.
Yeah.
So he was a great quarterback. But the offensive line on that team was the heartblood of the team, or the heartbeat of the team. And they were around the clubhouse all the time, close-knit group, playing video games, all that kind of stuff. And everything started to filter in from there. But it was a really strong culture of players that liked to hang out together, that liked to work hard and be successful. And so that's some of the stuff that we're trying to bring back right now. It's good to have Asher Hastings, and the O-line ran that team.
Yeah, so Dave Jackson, it's the closest thing to a head coach on any football team that's you know, higher up, like junior, university, pros. It's your special teams coach, because he's got to bring everybody together to buy into that unit, because it's not a glamorous thing. Not a lot of people like playing special teams. They don't like being gunners. They don't like being wedge busters back in the day. So you got to get everybody to buy in. You got to get that receiver that wants to make the roster to buy in. So, you know, I'd like to see more of those guys become head coaches, like Craig Dickinson, like Mike O'Shea, those kind of guys. But do you have aspirations to be a head coach, you know, at any level, junior, university? Or are you one of those guys, you just want to be a coordinator, you know, that kind of, not just a coordinator, but just be part of an area? Lock that down.
No, I consider myself a football coach. So yeah. If a head coaching opportunity comes up in a situation that I like, then definitely I'm interested in that. But you hit the nail right on the head as far as special teams. You know, number one, echo the message of the head coach. And number two, it's your job to get that buy-in. So you got to figure out a way to reach all the players, relate as much to offense and defense, and create that culture of shining on special teams before you start on offense or defense. And that's how you get the buy-in.
Do you think we're going to see more and more special teams guys become head coaches? Like I said, O'Shea, Dickinson. I could be wrong, but I think Joe Judge of the Giants is a special teams background. Like, to me, it makes sense you look at those guys, but we don't see it's either the hot OC. Generally, that's what it is. The odd time, it's the DC, like a Vic Fangio or a Steinauer in Hamilton. But it's not with regularity we see special teams guys become head coaches.
Well, I think you're starting to see a little bit, and really that trend is everything matches what the NFL does. So Harbaugh was really the first guy that I remember to go from special teams coach in Baltimore there to head coach. And then Joe Judge, bang on, right? He's got a background with both Belichick and Saban, so you know kind of where he's coming from. But the good thing about these guys, and the guy in Kansas City has been interviewed a few times, but they're not only are they working with the whole team, but they have a background prior either on offense or defense, coaching positions, or sometimes coordinators in both, right? So when you get a guy who's done special teams, it's not as if that's usually the only thing he's done. So you have a lot of knowledge in that position, but it's public perspective and, you know, the shiny new car and all that kind of stuff as far as big money football and who's that head coach is going to be.
Dave Jackson, you called yourself a football coach. So in your opinion, what makes a good football coach? Why should people want to play for Dave Jackson?
Well, I think a good football coach is anyone that can connect to his players right away and be able to connect to a whole bunch of different learning styles and personalities, and being able to motivate those guys, being able to get the most out of them as often as you can, and being able to practice your craft and work at your craft all the time, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, as much as you're always trying to evolve It's not what you did 20 years ago because that's what somebody showed you then. You know, if that thing still works, you're still doing it. Don't get me wrong. But you're always evolving. You're always connecting with people. And you're always motivating.
Yeah, Dave Jackson joining us here from the Regina Thunder, their special teams coach. 2013, you were here. You said you were with the Rams out there in the BC Junior Football League. How is the athlete at the junior football level today different in terms of you having to connect with them? Has your coaching style changed, say, from 2013 when you were last, you know, when you were with the championship team here with the Thunder? Has it changed much, Dave? Has the athlete changed, like the way you interact with them?
You know what? From 2013 to now, I don't think it's a whole heck of a lot. You know, technology is more available.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you're doing, and really, I don't mean texting and all that kind of stuff. It's if you have documents or play sheets or stuff, you might share it on some different apps. That's the biggest thing now. But, you know, athletes from our generation or something like that, certainly a lot different, but not a lot of difference from 2013 to now. It's the same kind of guys.
You got to love what you do, man. Has that been tough on your personal life to do all the traveling like that? Toronto, Calgary, Edmonton, overseas, Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, all over the place.
Well, it is tough, but the thing is I enjoy it, right? I love traveling. Like I said, I lived overseas for a while. So, and in doing all this traveling, you meet the people. I meet my mentors like Gary Echeverry and Corey McDermott and Scott McCauley and all these different types of people. So I love the moving around aspect of it.
Do players make the coach? Do coach make the players? Or are they one and the same?
Players make the coach, right? So coaches will put in the work. But at the end of the day, it's kind of that chicken or the egg thing. You got to get the most out of the players.
Yeah, but Dave, I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop
really
you.
Good players help.
Dave, let me stop you, though, because you've been in the CFL. To me, I think it was a big mistake by the Canadian Football League to cut the coaching, to cut the salaries, to cut the coaching, to eliminate some coaches. I think this league was starting to gain some steam because of the coaching. I think, at least at the pro level, I think junior football, and you could speak to this better than me, junior football, university football, we're getting better there. Like, we're realizing good coaching matters. But it seems when we get to the pros, it's like, well, we used to be able to do it with 11. We can do it with 8 now. Hey, when I played, I've heard some coach say, when I played, we only had 5 coaches. Well, that was back in, like, things evolve. I think we minimize coaching at the pro level. Do you agree with that?
Well, to that, then, now, to me, that's two different points. So yeah. I 100% agree with what you're saying right there. If we're comparing apples and apples and things like that, that's where the old adage, the player makes the coach kind of thing. But when they're cutting back on jobs, then all that does, number one, is it cuts back on opportunity and aspiration for younger people. And number two, it definitely cuts back on the quality on the field. Right? There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're 100% correct on that.
You were a player coach overseas, so you can speak to this better than maybe anybody I've talked to. What do you think of this global thing that the CFL is trying to do, where we're looking to go global and add players? To me, okay, I'll buy one, but there looks like they're trying to force two guys on the roster, and I'm like, unless they're giving us big-time money, I'd rather see us focus on our Canadians than global guys right now.
Well, I definitely think it's a Canadian Football League, and we want to focus on Canadians and continue to develop and get better there. Here's the thing about the global initiative is I don't fully understand it, but if it is anything close to what I think it is, where basically we want to get money and exposure, then I like it. And if you go to one extreme, not saying that it'll turn out to be that way, but you get the Ichiro example for baseball, you get the Yao Ming for basketball. If that's where we're trying to go, I 100% agree with that. But if it's just for the sake of losing jobs to other people, then, you know, I'm not for that.
I'm 100% behind you. If they tell me we're going to have two guys on a roster, but you're getting $1 million or $2 million to start or $500,000, or there's some money coming this way, then I can buy that. I buy what you're selling because the league needs money. But if not, I'm just like, we got to grow this game, and we're not going to grow it in Finland and Sweden in the immediate future, and we need help in the immediate future. We're going to grow it here in Canada, where Canadians have eyeballs on it, where young guys playing for the Thunder feel like, hey, I got a chance to go pro. I got a chance because they're looking for Canadians. We've always said this, Dave, and you've been in the league. You win with Canadians and quarterbacks. If you want to win, get Canadians. It drives me nuts.
You're 100% correct. You're 100% correct. And that initiative can be, a future plan. But right now, the way it's structured, you definitely win with the Canadians and the quarterbacks. And, hey, look at the Bombers. They had an excellent, quote-unquote, global player on their team, mm-hmm. right? And it paid dividends. Same with the Eskimos.
Yeah,
there's advantages to that, but it all starts with the Canadians.
There's a couple of teams that did, but for the most part, they were a bunch of mannequins on the sidelines, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. Dave, lastly, three phases coaching clinic. It was something big the Thunder put on with lots of minor football coaches. I understand it was your baby. You were heavily involved. Just talk about that, and you were talking earlier in this interview about getting better. How did that help you get better, and just explain to the people what you did there.
Yeah, well, thanks for bringing that up. That was something that, coaching development is something that Scott McCauley and myself have been talking about these last couple of years. Like you said, how do you be a good coach and you want to continue to develop? So we're talking about development opportunities, and Football South does a great job of putting on a clinic, but we really only have the one big clinic. So instead of having to go to Vegas or we're in Saskatchewan, it's 8 hours everywhere around here.
Mm-hmm.
So we've tried to bring it to us. So we did it the last couple of years. We just advertised it on social media, had a great turnout. Coaches would come into the office, kind of old school, sit down there, talk some football. We had some great speakers, from professional guys like Richie Hall all the way down to some high school guys. And people loved it. And then, hey, this COVID thing hit. We're in year two. Our year two plan was to film it and start this YouTube page that they could go to. And then people still wanted it, so we did that, and that grows, and now they're popping up everywhere. But, I'm very grateful for the opportunity to give this development opportunity for coaches in Saskatchewan. So Scott and I put a lot of work into that, and hopefully that's something that continues in the future.
And where can is there any, archives of your work where they could see it, or where will they see it going forward, just on your webpage?
Yeah, well, we created a YouTube page, Balzi. Okay. So it's Three Phases Coaching on YouTube. And every clinic we've done this year, there's probably 20, 30 videos on there. They're all on there, so they can go and search that on YouTube and subscribe and do all that bell clicking and all that stuff. I don't know too much about that, but they can watch it there, and they can rewatch it and free and share it with their staff as much as they want.
One of my neighbors in Glen Harlem, one of the great coaches in Regina, to come from Regina, is Dave Jackson. Thanks for this, Dave, our coach of the week. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Balzi. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
International Talk Like a Pirate Day. Started back in 1995, always celebrated on September 19th. There's the music, the pirate music.
You don't be a land lover, time to celebrate another Talk Like a Pirate Day. When you be conversating with the ladies and the mates, you should say it with a pirate phrase. He's a grog blossom who be hornswoggled on the deck of a clipper ship. He's gonna get a flogging when you see the Jolly Roger. Yeah, he's about to feed the fish a lot less. Arr! Yar, har, har, shiver me timbers with the gold doubloons. Swinging on the tasty ales. Singing yo, ho, ho with a bottle of booze. Dead men tell no tales. Ran a rig on a winch and it cost me six. And the captain says anchors away. Tis a ship that we be looting, and the crew's about to mutiny. So we tell them all to walk the plank. He told them to walk the plank. Talk this way. Walk the plank. Talk this way. Just give me some rum. Yar, yar. So dumb.
Face First Medical Aesthetics, located just above Gabbo's Nightclub on Dewdney Avenue. Face First Medical Aesthetics, where you lose your wrinkles, not your edge. Always put your best face first. Thanks to them for getting on board and supporting local here with the Growing the Game with Balzi podcast. So I encourage you to support a new local business in Face First Medical Aesthetics. Just before we get to Balzi's pick six for SAS Selects football, just want to bring up that yesterday was the 12th anniversary of the passing of Ron Lancaster. Yeah, the little general passed away at the age of 69 from a heart attack. This guy, you could make a case that George Reed's the greatest Rough Rider of all time, make a case that Ron Linecaster's the greatest Rough Rider of all time, but you can't deny, I don't think, that he's the greatest figure ever in CFL history, like I've said many times before. Between his playing days, his coaching days, his broadcasting days, really a great ambassador for this league. He was the most important figure in the CFL during his time on Earth. So our thoughts and prayers going out to his daughter, Lana Mueller, and son-in-law Larry, who is a friend of this podcast, and of course grandson Mark, and all the extended family on the remembrance of the passing of Ron Linecaster 12 years ago yesterday, as a matter of fact. Okay, time now for Ballsy's Pick 6, which is brought to you by our friends over there at SAS Selects Football. Zelko and his wife Deb, Stefanovic, building the Stars of Tomorrow today. They've got their great 7-on-7 league starting up. It started up a couple of weekends ago, playing out there in the Moose Jaw area. Got kids from Regina involved, about 40 kids. They wear soft shell helmets. At least they're going to wear soft shell helmets right now. They're wearing their helmets while they play. It's a two-hand touch league. You can check out more information on their webpage and on their Facebook page. It's a sport that's growing in the United States, and hoping to catch on here in Regina. And by the early indications, it is. All right, number one on the pick six. I'm going to go with six predictions here. Number one prediction, the Titans should have beaten the Broncos by double digits on Monday night if Tennessee could have made a kicker three with Gostkowski. They should be able, though, to slow down a Jags team not as bad as people think with Gardner Minshew at quarterback. I say the Titans by 10. Number two on the pick six, no one should overreact to the Bucs' disappointing week one loss in New Orleans. Talk about drawing the short straw there in week one. They'll easily handle Carolina by 10 in Tampa. Number three, the third prediction, the banged up Eagles gave up 8 sacks to the Washington football team. Aaron Donald, you've heard of him. The Rams, they come to town. Rams by 7. Vikings play the Colts, and both teams practiced their pandemic pass coverage last week. As I like to say, I'll always take the better quarterback. Phillip Rivers isn't Aaron Rodgers, but then again, he's not Kirk Cousins. Colts by 4 at Lucas Oil Stadium before 2,500 rabid fans in full throat. Don't laugh. The 6,000 in Cleveland caused quite a stir yesterday, including a fight in the stands. How do you have 6,789 fans and you have a fight in the stands? Unreal. Only in Cleveland. Now, there won't be fans in the stands in LA as the Chargers open their new stadium at SoFi Stadium. We know the Rams did it last week. They own the stadium. The Chargers just rent. They play Kansas City. Now, it's not going to be a problem for LA because they don't get fans anyway. What is a problem, though, is that Tyrod Taylor is the starting quarterback of the Chargers, and he's not a starting quarterback. And he won't be able to keep the Chargers close in a race with Mahomes and the Chiefs. They got to keep them off the field. They got to somehow keep them from making big plays. Now, the Chargers' defense has been one of the only defenses since Mahomes has been in the league to really contain him, but I don't see it here. Plus, Andy Reid got extra time to prep for a Chargers team that barely beat the Bengals last week. Chiefs by 14, I think, like something like 31-17. And the sixth prediction for you in Ballsy's Pick 6 for SAS Selects Football, my upset specials on Monday Night Football with the Killers playing halftime. The Raiders beat the Saints. Yes, I know the Saints are elite, but they're missing Michael Thomas with a hamstring injury for several weeks. And the Raiders are opening up their new stadium. And even though the stadium will be empty, the Raiders will manufacture enough energy and mystique to open up with a surprising win over Drew Brees, Sean Payton, and the New Orleans Saints.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.